G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, March 4. I'm John Barker. Joining me once again, Carl Diorio. Well, Carl, it's Guineas weekend and two big rich Group 1 1600 metre races for three-year-olds. It's the third year in a row it's happened. Not ideal. You wouldn't have thought?
No, but I think the gods of... are going to ensure and intervene and make sure there's only one. I think the one at Flemington should be held, barring any sort of catastrophic event. But that one in Sydney at Randwick, I'm pretty sure long odds on won't be happening on Saturday.
However, it will be happening at some point, you'd imagine. We're hearing that perhaps next Wednesday might be a possibility if, as expected, Randwick doesn't quite come up for this Saturday. What about the two fields, if you assumed that the races were both going ahead? Which appeals as the stronger to you?
Personally, I think the Melbourne field's a bit stronger. A bit more open as well. We see the Caulfield Guineas trifecta reappear with Divine Prophet, Seaburge and Haydock. Also got the Derby winner, Prized Icon, stabled in Melbourne. So you'd expect to see Prized Icon go around in Melbourne irrespective of the weather conditions in Sydney. But a really good race. And good betting races.
Yes, indeed. Well, as I've written in both Best Bets and Winning Post this week, certainly last year, despite the Sydney race being worth $1 million and the Melbourne race only $750, certainly there were more Group 1 winners and black type winners come out of the Australian Guineas last year than the Randwick Guineas. In fact, the Randwick Guineas only produced the one, and that was the winner, the Remain, who went on to win the Cantala Stakes, of course. But four Group 1 winners. In fact, Loremain was the only black type winner in the field subsequently. And the Flemington race produced four Group 1 winners and I think four other black type winners. So anyway, we'll see how things pan out this year. We've mainly got to find a winner and we will take you right through the black type on both programs, Flemington and Randwick. And we'll start at Flemington, which of course will go ahead on Saturday, as Carl mentioned. And we start in race two, the listed ATA Bob Hoisted Handicap over 1,000 metres.
Headley's going to be a short price favourite, probably, if not odds on, just on the borderline of being even money. I've just got Hussein Eagle on top for the reason I think he appears as a little bit better value. I thought the run at the Magic Million Sprint was okay. The first up win back in November in the Dubton Stakes was quite impressive. Hussein Eagle down the straight, proven commodity, can see it settling in the second half of the field and finishing home over the top. Look, Headley's obviously the one to beat, but she did suffer a bleeding attack two starts ago, incurred that mandatory three-month ban. She did seem to get a bit stirred up in the barriers in that Lightning Stakes, all that kerfuffle pre-race, but she did get to the front. She was held up, you know, had a pretty soft lead and didn't give too much of a kick. She was beaten two lengths in quality opposition. But, gee, I don't know if I want to be taking even money about a horse returning from a bleeding attack. You'd never know how good they actually are. Third, I'll put in number four, Reldas, and for fourth, number five, Lady Esprit.
Yeah, very similar for me. I'm with Heatherly, but even money, certainly on the, you know, jury, very much out after that Lightning run, I would have thought. $2.10. Well short enough to beat three Hussein Eagle, four Reldas, put in six Dance with Fontaine for fourth. Race three at Flemington on Saturday is the 3AW Is Football Stakes, 1,000 metres. That's a bit of a travesty to anyone who's not your age, Carl, but over the age of 40 in Melbourne, who know, of course, that in fact 3KZ is football. With the captain and the major back in the 70s. Jeez, you really did miss out on a lot, Carl. Anyway, this one's for two-year-olds. Listed event over 1,000.
Modernity is my top selection here, number one. We won't miss out here. $2.20 is the price, and I'd be more comfortable taking that sort of short-priced quote with Modernity than Heatherly. I think she'll be very hard to beat. She's got the form on the board. Her defeats have been in situations whereby you can say, well, the run down the straight, she was drawn on the wrong side of the track and she was very, very game in being beaten by Invincible Star. And then last time she just ran into a freak Hootson. She chased gamely from the inside Barry but was no match. But she doesn't need to be Hootson here. and she certainly doesn't meet any sort of Hootson type opposition, at least from what we can see of the race brigade. The unraced runners have trialled okay, but nothing's really jumped out of the ground either. So I've gone Modernity on top to beat 7 Spoils, 5 Chaos Ball, who jumped out okay on Tuesday, and for fourth, number 9, Hard Faith.
Yeah, I'm with Modernity too. I think under the conditions, just with the 57, only having to give 3 to the bottom. Modernity does look a good thing here from 2. Can't Remember, Prepared to Forgive, the first up run. 12, Holy Honour, one of the first starters. And 5, Chaos Ball, another of the first starters. 1, 2, 12 and 5. We skip to race 5 now. Francis Tressidy Stakes, Group 3 for the fillies and mares, 1400.
Yeah, Jalan on top for me. Gee, when I back a horse and it gets beat, I tend to try and find the reason why it did get beaten. Straight after Jalan was $7.50 into $4 and ran third the other night, I just thought to myself, gee, I think it maybe needs 1400. And lo and behold, it's going to run over 1400 metres first time here in the Francis Trislady. Just really think that's suitable at this stage of the campaign. Perhaps even raced outside the lead last time and is better suited being ridden with a bit of cover, which she should get in this field because there does look to be a few natural leaders. So Jalan at the price of around about $17 to beat number 3 Rising Romance. Look, she hasn't won for a long, long time, and Mark Zara recommended to Connections that they retire after the Ballarat Cup, but on her best form she'd go very, very close to winning this. It's just a big question on how well she's going. For third, number 9, Happy Hannah, proven first up horse that's probably better over 1600, but should go well. And for fourth, number 10, Turbo Miss.
Yeah, I made Rising Romance my best. I might look like an absolute marginal, but I don't have to protect my run anymore because it came to an end with Darren last week. You tried to steer me into Silent Sedition, Carl.
Almost.
Yeah, no, Darren was no good. But just Rising Romance with 54 kilos here. That's just, if she's anywhere near her best, which she probably isn't, but if she's anywhere near her best, 54 kilos on the minimum. How does she get in? Obviously, it's based on the last cup form over the last couple of years, the penalties for this race, and therefore she doesn't get a penalty. She hasn't won anything.
Yeah.
But,
She's particularly good first up. She seems to run well fresh and then start to lose her form towards the end of her campaign. So.
Well, that's right. So, I mean, second to Blackheart Bart over this distance last time. So you imagine what's priced Blackheart Bart would be in this field with 56. So Rising Romance to win from 2, I Love It, 4, Manageress, and 7, Deja Blue. Race 6 is another Group 3 over 1400, and it is the Tab Rewards Stakes.
Hooked is a horse that's capable first up. He's won 2 from 8 first up, which isn't a fantastic fresh record, but if you look beyond the numbers, he does seem to produce some really nice efforts when he's kept on the fresh side. He was heavily backed at a bit of a price during Melbourne Cup Week last year, and he just went a bit too hard in the lead and knocked up late. But trials leading into this have been good. He's now with Robert Smurden, and I'm just going to spec him at a price in this pretty... it's a Group 3 race, but it's pretty much effectively an open handicap. So got him ahead of number 5, Grande Rosso, who's better suited to the 1400 than the mile. Just depends whether or not he's had enough this campaign. Third, number 2, he or she... And fourth, number 6, Zabrins.
Zabrins for me, number 6, to beat 3, Hooked. 4, Charlie Boy, and 5, Grande Rosso. The main race is worth $750,000. It is for 3-year-olds over 1,600 metres at set weights. And it is the Australian Guineas Race 7.
Sosie Bon on top for me, number 8. Son of So You Think, he's always shown a bit of ability. His only win came in the Packenham Maiden, but he's certainly better than that. He was competitive all the way through last spring in the Caulfield Guineas and then up to 2,500 in the Derby. And even for a moment there, he looked like he might pinch the Sandown Classic. But I think his best distance is 1,600 to 2,000 metres. He'll be kept to that this campaign. His first up run was good over the 1,200. He just jumped a little bit too quick and settled close to a fast pace. And I thought he stuck on admirably over the 1,200 metres. And here he is up to the mile second up. He draws wide, but he'll get back and he'll be finishing home powerfully. Flemington over 1,600 metres against his own age group just should be absolutely perfect for him. So got him on top from 2, Divine Prophet, the Caulfield Guineas winner. Head of the Caulfield Guineas runner-up there, Seaburge. And the other place getter from the Caulfield Guineas, Haydock. I don't really understand why there's such a price discrepancy between Seaburge, Divine Prophet and Haydock. But yeah, I think it's pretty good Guineas, as I said earlier.
Well, you probably just look at that last form number, Carl. Haydock 1, Divine Prophet 9, Seabird 0. That will explain it. Look, it's such a wide open Australian Guineas that I think in Winning Post's Ruffies panel, where we look for a horse at an absolute minimum of $11 for the readers over the weekend, I think four of the eight panellists have just plucked the horse in this race.
And I was going to go with Seabird myself until I saw everyone in there and shied away from it.
Yeah, well, it can work. And last week we had Grace Ramage head-to-head against Tony Kneebone in the Oakley Plate, and Grace had Scheidel and Tony had Fartinar. So that was first and second, $111 Quinella, if you don't mind. So it can pay off. You can certainly back them all and make a profit if one of them happens to get up. In fact, if a couple of them run a place, you'd make a profit. And I've got Inside Agent as my roughie, but I've got it fourth. Look, this was one of these races where, like the Blue Diamond last week, I had four or five in mind and just kept rotating through them for my top selection. Just ended up back with Haydock. Just hasn't done much wrong. But $3.40 favourite, no favourite, has won this race since Light Fantastic in 2008. Whatever happened to Light Fantastic, you may wonder. Looked like would be anything, but really didn't do much after that. So yeah, not a favourites race, but I mean that's not all that surprising when you always get your 16 running in this, and it's always pretty competitive.
Tony McAvoy going for his first Group 1 winner since Fields of Omar, is that right?
Well, could be.
Yeah. That's probably, I think, as well. I mean, he's a capable trainer, he's a very good trainer, but it's a bit of a hoodoo, and it's a great race.
Yeah, well, I've got Divine Prophet for second, number two, Morton's Fork number five for third, and Inside Agent, my roughie, number 11. Race 8 at Flemington on Saturday, 3AW Roy Higgins Quality, 2,600 metre listed event.
I don't like this race one bit. I'll be the first one to just put my hands up and say I don't like it, but I've gone with 10 Darabad on top, just on spec. It's recent trials, or jump outs, I should say. Cranbourne have been okay. It's French form is all right without being anything special, but the opposition is quite questionable, and I'm just willing to spec him at the price and see if the fresh blood's good enough to beat these lot. But another big fan of this race. I've got Darabad ahead of Two Big Memory, who's always thereabouts, but yeah, he really wins. For third, number three, Northwest Passage. I really can't tip a three-year-old against the older horses with much confidence, and it got an absolute easy time in the lead last time at Mooney Valley. Everything went right, and if it can't get to the front and stack them up over 2,600 at Flemington, it's a big risk for mine. And then you've got horses like Cadillac Mountain and Sir Laszlo and Post de France and El Moonquith. It's just a horrible race.
Yeah, tend to agree, but I am with Northwest Passage. But yeah, I'll probably come a cropper. He's probably just about had enough after...
he's going to the Sydney Cup.
Summer Horizon. Yeah, well, Gay Wardhouse, Tommy Smith, what can you say? Why would I be surprised? 3 Northwest Passage to beat 9 Annus Mirabilis, 12 Post de France, and 1 Al Moonkith. As I said before, my crazy best of the day is race 5, number 3, Rising Romance. And my value bet we have not discussed because it comes up in the last, and that's race 9, number 11, the very impressive last start winner, Think Babe. Carl?
Best bet for me, race 3, number 1, Modernity. Have something on Jelan as well, race 5, number 6. And the value bet comes up in race 7, that's number 8. Saucibon.
All right, well, Randwick Saturday, as you discussed, Carl, as you mentioned, it seems quite unlikely that this meeting will be going ahead on Saturday, but chances are it will go ahead at some stage. But when it does, the track will probably be wet, still be wet, you'd think.
You'd wet-ish. Think so.
So, with those caveats in mind, let's get stuck into it. Race 1, Affinity Shipping Riesling Stakes. The Big Slipper lead-up at Randwick, 1,200 for two-year-old fillies at set weights. Guess it all depends on whether our friend Houtson turns up. Probably not. She'll probably run in Brisbane, Canberra. What do you think?
I'm thinking more Canberra, but because Brisbane's got the 63 kilos, and I don't think a two-year-old's carried so much weight in the modern era in one. So, wherever it goes, it probably won't it'll have run before this race is perhaps rescheduled, and that probably will just leave it for She Will Reign to win. So I've got She Will Reign on top, whether or not Hootson's in the field or not. I think she'll be winning. She's obviously talented. We all saw how she did it last time. She's the slipper favourite and deserves to be. From one Hootson, who's, you know, if they do meet in the slipper, I'm sure we'll make it a bit of a test. Third, number four, From Within, just put a pen through that Magic Minions Classic run, just written a bit too negatively and stayed on that slower inside section. And then for fourth, number three, Frolic.
The Colts division is race two, the University of New South Wales Todman Stakes.
Many of these have lined up in the Black Opal as well, along with my top two selections, Minari number 6 and 10, Murahib. Just really like Minari. The form stood up around it. Very unlucky last time behind Pariah, who's then almost pinched the blue diamond. So that's very, very strong form lines. And got ahead of number 10, Murahib, who very impressive at Mooney Valley. Sat last, they ran along, and they didn't stop in the lead, but Murahib was still good enough to circle the field, loop him, and win with a leg in the air. So a very good horse. Third, number 2, Veronillo. On pacer, you know what you're going to get from him. He's just going to fight on. And for fourth, number 1, Chauffeur. Fresh and from the Magic Minions Classic. Might just need this run before hitting top gear in the slipper.
Race 3 at Randwick is the Bradley Australia Fireball Stakes for 3-year-olds over 1,100 listed.
Well, there's always been a boom on number 6, Glenel, considering his trials heading into his debut. And he started odds on debut and he smashed his rivals. And then last start, he resumed, and that was only his second start. He went forward on that occasion. He got attacked in the lead. He got driven mad, and he still had the audacity to be fighting on. And he's only caught probably 30, 25 metres from the line. It was a great effort. He'll be fitter for that run. Perhaps he won't be bullied, I guess, in the lead as much here. And maybe he can just take a sit off Scarlet Rain. So I think this race will work out better. I've got him ahead of 5, Demolition, who resumes from a spell. Both his wins last campaign were quite good. The latest against the pattern and the tempo of the day. For third, number 1, Scarlet Rain. And for fourth, number 7, Conchita.
Race 4 at Randwick on Saturday, Schweppes Winona Girl Quality for the older mares at Group 3 level 1200 metres.
Yeah, Queen of Kariba on top for me, number 9. She has been unplaced at her previous 12 starts, which is hardly the sort of form you want to be sort of heading into another race and be backing her. But her last two runs, she's finished 5th, and they've been encouraging efforts, particularly the first up run where she ran the best last 600 of the race. And last time didn't have all that much luck. She loves a wet track, and she'll certainly get that here. So I've got her on top from 1, Nancy, who's an honest performer. Has only missed the top 5 finish twice in her career, and that came last campaign when clearly it was below her best. For third, number 6, Hieroglyphics. Really charged home to get the job done last time. And for fourth, number 4, Rocket Commander. Back in trip from the 1400 of the Mannerism last Saturday at Caulfield to now 1200 in Sydney, but certainly likes a wet track.
Race 5 is the first of the Group 1s at Randwick on Saturday or whenever, and that is the Canterbury BMW Stakes, aka Canterbury Stakes, 1300, weight for age, 500,000.
Great race. I think there's 3 main winning chances and maybe 3.5. I've got Ugo Foscolo on top. He's a great horse. He's a wonderful Kiwi. He's had 6 starts for the 5 wins. He won their 2,000 guineas for Stephen Marsh back in November. Now he's joined Gabe Waterhouse and Adrian Bott's team. 2 recent trials have been great. He finished alongside the A-grade sprinters in his first hit out without being knocked around. And then last time he beat a very inferior bunch of horses by 7 lengths at the trials. He's that sort of horse that Gay Waterhouse just loves to train, those tough on paces, and I think she can take him to the next level. And if she does, he could be one of the best horses over the next 12 months in Australia. So got him ahead of Chautauqua, number 1. He's at the crossroads a wee bit, but I didn't think there was anything too much wrong with his first up effort. He probably will appreciate the give out of the ground, it must be said, on Saturday or whenever. Third, number 4, Music Magnate. He's so honest, and he was great last start in Victory. And for fourth, number 2, La Romaine. He's so honest, but I just think he's probably a rung below these at this distance.
Another weight for age sprint, this one over 1,000 metres at Group 2 level, is race 6, the Highland Race Colours Challenge Stakes.
Number 3 on top for Mr. P, though, who started the $9 chance in the Lightning Stakes. The visor was carried in that race, and he just raced a touch keen off the slow tempo. He was in a bumping duel with Flying Artie through the middle stages, and then at the 300 he looked like he was going to loom up and win, but he just blew out the last 150 and he actually finished last. I don't think that run was all that bad. The visor does come off. He stays at 1,000 metres. This run might just top him off nicely ahead of the Newmarket, or that's at least Mick Kent's intention, to run him here and then come back for the Newmarket, but his intention might not actually go to plan. For second, I've got in number 7, English, who we didn't see the best of her last campaign, but obviously in the autumn she was very gifted. Third, and she won this race first up last prep. First up last autumn. Third, number 8, Headley, if she lines up here. And for fourth, number 4, Del Cielo, who's just been a specialist over this short course trip of late.
And the main race, race 7, Girvan War Randwick Guineas, with $1 million, 1,600 for 3-year-olds at set weights.
Yeah, Inference was very good first up. He got back, he came widest in the straight. He found the line nicely for 50. He wasn't beaten all that far. Rise to 1,600 metres looks suitable. Got him ahead of 5 coming through, who's the main danger. He's got the one run extra advantage. He's third up as opposed to Inference, who is second up, and coming through draws barrier 4 with Joe Moreira. So he'll be prominent throughout, and he's going to take a power of beating. Third, number 12, Hartham. I think he's underrated. I can't believe he's 50-1. His first up run in the CS Hayes was excellent, and he produced some really nice efforts at Caulfield last spring as well. He was placed behind Russian Revolution. He's better than average Hartham, but he's certainly, his price in this race suggests he's a bit of an also-ran. And for fourth, I've put in number 6, Actor Tour, who ran the best last 600 in that Hobartville last start.
All right, Hobartville 1, 2, 3, 4 has been the dominant, I think, 7 of the 11 since they changed it from the Canterbury Guineas to the Randwick Guineas and brought it back to 1,600. The Hobartville has been the form reference for that. Race 8 at Randwick on Saturday, City Ford Group Aspiration Quality, 1,600, fillies and mares Group 3.
Golmoth Circular, who ran the best final 600 metres of the day first up off a slow tempo. And then last time was a little bit disappointing in the Millie Fox, just... the rider Brendan Abdallah felt that Circular was looking for a touch further, so she gets that now straight up to the mile. And I've got that ahead of number 8, Queen of Wands. Now this horse was racing really well over the mile, then dropped back to the 1,350 last time and sizzled home late. Clearly just wants that extra distance and gets it as well. So I think probably you can back both runners, and at the price, Queen of Wands is probably double that, maybe even a little bit more, and I think you'll get a collect if you do that. For third, number 5, Zaritza. She's been a little bit plain this campaign. This is D-Day for her. She gets a rain-affected track and up to the mile, so I want to be seeing some improvement from her. And then for fourth, number 9, Van Dancer, who's kept on the fresh side, but did show... she's lightly raced, and I think through the summer months she was making some good progress.
And finally, at Randwick Race 9, Girvan War Randwick City Stakes, 2,000 metres listed event.
Our Sentry on top for me. Nice effort first up with 61.5 kilos. He finished fourth at Flemington over the 1,700. Now he drops 8 kilos, steps up to the 2,000 metres, and he gets a rain-affected surface, which shouldn't worry him too much. His most recent run on the rain-affected surface saw him finish fourth behind Kingfisher, which is used to be owned by Lloyd Williams, and also the Godolphin pair of Bow Creek and It Somewhat. So our Sentry is pretty talented, and there's no real superstars in this race, so it might just be a nice stepping stone for him as he heads towards a race perhaps like the Sydney Cup. So got him ahead of the 3, Classic Uniform, and a tough on pacer who'll give a bold side up in the speed. Third, number 6, Astronomos, who's a handy wet tracker. And fourth, number 7, Montauk. Probably doesn't love a wet track, but he's got a lightweight and should be considered as a result.
And Carl, our Century was your best of the day, race 9, number 5.
That's right, for the reasons earlier outlined. And the Inference, not too much value must be said though, race 7, number 3. With a few scratchings, he might actually start short. So maybe we'll go Queen of Kariba, race 4, number 9 is the value.
All right, and Morfordville, there is the Group 3 race. It is the traditional Adelaide Cup lead up, the James Bogues Premium Lord Reams Stakes, race 8. Over 2,600 on the main track at Morfordville. And This one is at set weights and penalties, which you would think would favour the Darren Weir Trained Master of Arts, Carl.
You would think that, but I'm silly enough to leave him in my top four. But then again, there's a few scratchings you'd imagine with a few dual acceptors, and I'm sure under those circumstances you could find a spot for him in your first four. I've gone with Sir Laszlo on top, the former Darren Weir Trained Horse that made his debut for Stuart Webb last time at Flemington and ran the creditable fifth behind Poste de France. I thought the run was good. It was a blanket finish, but he got back in the field. The tempo wasn't run to suit, and I thought he found the line okay. He's always had a touch of... Well, he's always shown a bit of ability, I must say. I mean, he's stepping up to the 2600 now, which should suit. And Stuart Webb, we all saw him, how well he got that... A jump saucer, Anis Mirabilis, to win the Bagot. And I'm thinking maybe you might do the same here with Sir Laszlo at a decent price. I've got him ahead of Four Big Memories, also entered for Melbourne. 6 second Bullet, who's well weighted. It's just a query if he gets the trip, but he's just got a superior turn of foot to most of these in the field. And for fourth, number two, Mailer, then, who was a really easy winner last start over 2,000 metres.
And there is one other black type race at Morphettville on Saturday. It's race 7, You Bet Cinderella Stakes. The two-year-old fillies over 10.50.
Again, check out for the dual acceptors. I've gone with Five Pageantry. Good debut winner. Wasn't disgraced at Group 3 level last start. Has since jumped out enormous at Flemington. And from Barrier 4, each way price. Should get the gun run and every chance to get a collect. So got ahead of number 6, Prepared to Win, who was, beaten by the wide barrier on debut. And then got knocked over by Dusamus down the straight in the Talon Dirt. So can certainly atone from the inside barrier. Third, number one, Time Awaits, and for fourth, number two, Spoils.
All right, Sir Laszlo was your value bet at Morphettville. Your best comes up in a small field for race 6, and I speak of number 4, Sebring Sun.
Yeah, Sebring Sun hasn't won since August 2015, but a string of promising efforts and encouraging efforts for Darren Weir last campaign in Victoria. He looks really well placed here in Adelaide. Six horse field, Bogham's the main danger. But, he should be winning this. He really should be. If he doesn't go close to winning this or have a legitimate excuse, you'd start to worry about Sebring Sun.
Eagle Farm is the venue for Brisbane racing on Saturday, and there is a black type race. It's the Tats, it's a Tats Club meeting, and it is the Sky Racing Tattersalls Members' Cup over 1,600 metres. Probably, as far as I know, it's one of about 10 races over 1600 metres, listed races called the Members' Cup, run during the year by Tattersalls at Eagle Farm.
But at least they don't have to spend money on the trophy, it's just a perpetual one that goes around.
Yeah, it gets handed around, and you think it'll be handed around convenient enough to your value bet. A big day for Toby Edmonds, perhaps, with Raffinato, number 10.
Yeah, Raffinato. I think by memory, this mare started her career with Tony McAvoy, but. Or at least had a period of time there. The first up run wasn't all that good, it must be said. It got back to last from a wide barrier, never figured, but it was a really good win last time at Eagle Farm, stepping up to this 1,600 metre distance. It's not an overly strong listed race, it must be said. Draws better, down in weight. I think she can do it here. And I've got her ahead of number 4, Beatniks, who does look the main danger. Beatniks was a last start winner over this track and distance as well, when just nosing out Friendly Dragon. That look for those two horses to come from the back of the field. For third, I've put in number 11, Red Leather Day, and for fourth, number 2, Guest of Honour. Best bet of the day, I'll just jump in, is another Toby Edmonds horse. It's race 5, number 8, Fiery Heights. Now, Fiery Heights was a last start winner, I should say. Jeff Lloyd is going to ride on that occasion Fiery Heights, as I just flick over the page. Won over the 1,200 metres at Doomben as favourite. Was certainly working his way up to a win before that with a string of encouraging efforts, but both wins this campaign have come over 1,200 metres at in Brisbane. So and he's got a great strike rate as well, with 13 of his 18 starts seen him finish in the top two. So he'll give you a great run for your money.
All right, there's also black type in the west at Ascot. And race 4 there is a listed event. It is the Supremacy Stakes for 2-year-olds, and your best comes up there, Carl. Resuming number 5, Soundcheck.
He had plenty of excuses on debut. He was started short in betting. He was a beaten favourite, and that was off the strength of a very, very good trial, and he just had absolutely no luck whatsoever. The winner of that race was Keeper Keen, and Keeper Keen has then since maintained an unbeaten record by winning one start more since. And has trolled okay heading into this race. Now, the price discrepancy between them both this weekend is Keeper Keen 350 and Soundcheck 11. So, I just for that factor, I think Soundcheck is a little bit of a silly price. So I've just got ahead of Keeper Keen, Colourful Charade in for third, number two, and Whacked Out for fourth, number six.
And the other black type event is the listed Ascot 1000 Guineas, which is a race six. You're going for number seven, Royal Star, unbeaten for Grant and Alana Williams.
Yeah, it looks pretty hard to beat there. Found its right race, and I've got it ahead of number one, Precious Memories, four, Just Like Fire, and 12, Awaken. The other runner, just to look at it, a bit of a price, is number eight, Fontainebleau, who ran a cheeky race at big odds last time.
And your value bet comes up in the seventh, number nine, Checkers.
Checkers is a swooper who shouldn't get as far back this time around. Has got a good record over this distance at 1,400 metres. Pretty open race. I think if Card Night is probably another good chance along with Politics. But yeah, Checkers is fifth up now and should be at peak fitness.
Earlier in the day, the Ellerslie Carnival kicks into gear in Auckland. The feature race, we've got two pages of four fields and form for the main race, which is the Vodafone New Zealand Derby, Carl.
It's a great race. It's an even field, but there's some really promising types in this race. I've gone with Charles Sorbel, number 10 on top. He ran fourth three times in a row in some really strong lead-up races. Then last time in the Avondale Guineas, he finished sixth. He had a settled four back on the fence. He peeled out in the home straight, but he just didn't let down on the slow eight track. And I think that's the key to him. He just needs a dry surface, and they should get that at Ellerslie on Saturday. So hopefully, under those circumstances, he can produce an improved effort. I think Camino Ross, Ricoso, and Sacred Elixir, they finished alongside him in seventh and eighth, and they were at the top of New Zealand Derby betting as well. And the market hasn't reacted as savagely to their chances as they have with Charles Sorbel. And I would be forgiving of all three. I think they're big key players in this race. The only one I've outside of them got in there is number two, Savarro. I've got him in for second. He comes through the weight for age races. They've taken a different pathway with him. He was a runner-up behind Ugo Foscolo in the 2000 Guineas back in November. He's all quality as well. I guess the chances don't really end there, though. Highlight the blinkers on first time. We saw him in Melbourne last spring. Windspiel won a race, the Waikato Guineas, 4 weeks ago and missed the Avondale Guineas with a slight setback. Ginger Nuts, of course, won the Avondale Guineas, bombing the start by three lengths and coming from last and winning that race at 40-1. So that's the reason he's now with $7 chance. It's a really good race, but I've just got Charles Sorbel on top of the 25-1.
All right, well, that takes care of Saturday, and we are officially into autumn now, and that's why the good racing is coming thick and fast, and it includes this Friday night at Cranbourne, the rescheduled Cranbourne Cup over 1,600 metres. Any thoughts, Carl?
Duke of Brunswick. I remember watching this horse when he's get beaten by High World in a Cranbourne maiden on Cranbourne Cup Day back in 2014. Yeah, 2014. And I thought to myself, gee, Duke of Brunswick's going to be a really good horse. And he's turned out to be, I guess in time, maybe not at the elite level, but he's certainly good enough to win this Cranbourne Cup over the mile. Carries no black type status because it's been dropped back in distance from 2000 to the 1600. I think the main danger is Shock-a-Mole. If he gets a run as the emergency, he's been racing really well this campaign. And expect a cheeky first up run from Arello Jr. He's certainly fought enough in his condition to run a nice race. The other race there is the Apache Cat Classic. That's the sprint race there. And Just Magical, I think, from the inside barrier is going to be highly competitive. He'll put himself up on the speed and he'll be there for a long way. But also Rock and Gold, he really deserved that win in the sell quality in the edging out Just Magical. And that's probably the strongest form reference you'd think heading into Friday night's race.
Fast forward to Sunday, more great form in your winning post. Wangaratta Cup Day, there's a meeting on at Colac, and there's also Scone with the Country Championship qualifier. But the main racing is at Canberra, where there are three listed races and, of course, the Group 3 Black Opal. Carl, just talk us through the Black Opal and perhaps anything else we need to know on the card.
Yeah, Black Opal, obviously contingent on what happens at Randwick the day before, because a lot of these are dual acceptors in those two-year-old races the day before. I've gone with Minari to beat Marikib, and then Hootson and chauffeur. But in many ways, it'd be really nice if hopefully people with the ATC aren't listening, but it'd be nice that it would be abandoned, because then we'd get an idea of how the boys and the girls measure up in the Black Opal. It's a real good mix of runners in that race. Canberra Cup, I've gone with Cool Chap. I think he can win. Slight query at the 2,000 metres, maybe running a strong 2,000. He's probably best kept to 1,800, but on the minimum, you've got to give him his chance against Classic Uniform, Red Excitement and Dark Eyes. And later on in the day, the last race, race 8, number 6, Renumerator, drops back in grade. I think it's going to be a really good each-way price. Corey Brown takes the ride, and if you're in trouble by 20 minutes to 6 and you can't pay for Sunday night dinner, maybe that's the one to get you out of trouble.
Alrighty, well, that wraps up a massive weekend of racing. Don't forget to pick up your winning post if you haven't already, as well as all your usual features. We've got the form for Friday night at Cranbourne, Saturday and Sunday, a big day on Sunday. And in fact, we've probably got form for next Wednesday as well. So the shelf life of your $5 winning post this week is quite incredible. But look, if they do happen to postpone that Randwick meeting to next Wednesday and you're punting out of your winning post, just have a little check of that they haven't shuffled the race orders, so you don't you're putting your quality on the wrong horses. Finally, our best $20 bet of the weekend. Pressure is now off me. My 5-week losing streak is over, and I'm going to try and get it back with a bit of value, I would have thought, and that's Flemington Race 5, number 3, A Rising Romance. Carl?
I'll go on the New Zealand Derby, Charles Soubel, Race 9, number 10.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.